Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 138, with Paul
yep,
and Barry.
Hello, listeners.
Hello. Well, I wonder what happens if I use these fucking emojis. Do they show up on screen as well, then? Like this? Yeah, look!
yeah.
That's what we got. Plenty of that going on at the moment.
That's what you got. So we are recording on the 29th. So we are just on about a week of UK isolation. Yeah, lockdown. So
it feels like about 300 years, fella.
It does. Like it.
It's only about a week. Look.
Yeah. It took Bruno. Like the thing that got to
be. That wasn't that long ago.
Wasn't that long ago? No. Not happening now, is it? The thing that got to me today was reading the news articles saying that with this situation that we're in, that we've only done a week of, and that's it, 1 week, is that we're going to be in it for 3 months, by the looks of it, until June.
I don't want to scare you, Paulus.
Yeah.
But I've heard that until we get a vaccine,
yeah,
it will be different levels of this kind of thing until that point. So maybe we'll have 3 months of lockdown and then 3 months of slightly less than lockdown. And then we'll have to lock down when it blows up again. And then
Totally. If the slightly less lockdown means that some things are open again, like that's okay. And like, I think it's either there or it's not, isn't it? If you're telling bars, for example, yes, they can reopen, then people will be in them.
Yeah, and then maybe it'll start up again, and then maybe they'll have to lock down again.
Well, yeah, because you can't be in lockdown forever. Like, that's just not, like, viable, is it? It's not possible.
Well, they're not even doing that in China. They're coming out now in Wuhan.
Apparently so.
But they're just waiting to see if it kicks off again.
Well, yeah, but that's what you have to do, isn't it, essentially? Like, it's like the... To some, the treatment is worse than the disease, isn't it?
You're talking about Trump now. You're saying you sound like Trump.
No, I don't want to sound like Trump. But this vaccination might not be here for a year and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's what you're going to have this situation for that long. I just don't think people would stand it.
Well, I think Easter Sunday. It's a very beautiful timeline. It's a beautiful time of year. I think have everybody back out by Easter. That's the plan.
No. Like, what's the date of Easter Sunday?
It's about 2.5 weeks or something. Is it 2 weeks? Is it 2 weeks? Yeah, it must be about 2 weeks from now.
Not happening, is it?
No, it's not happening, is it? 2 weeks now. Well, you just got to do what you got to do. The mole people are busy moling away.
Isn't rolling away. Are you managing to keep your family sane?
Yeah, I guess so. It helps that the older two are older and they get on with their schoolwork.
Yeah.
Because the schoolwork are full on. Like, they ain't fucking taking a foot off the gas.
They're
threatening them with, like, referrals and detentions and stuff. I don't know how you're supposed to police these at home.
Detention?
Yeah, like, so we've got to impose, like, detentions on the kids for not doing their work in a timely manner and stuff.
So who does the detention?
Well, I'll have to... the parents will have to police the detentions. But you can't send them to school.
That's stupid. They already are in detention.
I don't know. So basically, they've got to do the work when the work's set. So they've got to... During the week, they've got to be at school, virtual school.
Yeah.
And then there's also homework and stuff, and that all needs to be done to the timetable.
Yeah.
So it's like, whereas my 9-year-old, that's a different ballpark entirely, because they can't lead themselves in learning. You're fucking spoon-feeding them everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's like a full-time job. It doesn't matter if you've got one kid or, like, 20 kids or 30 kids, I guess. It's still like fucking one-on-one, isn't it? You can't delegate it. They might do 15 minutes of quiet work on their own. If you're lucky. So it's like permanent summer holidays. You can't do this for 18 months.
Never mind. Yeah, I just, it got to me a bit. I'll admit, it got to me a bit this morning. I was just like, what's the point? You know, like, what's the point in all this? It's just like, oh, it's grim.
What is the point in all this when the old bastards are still going to get the newspaper every day?
Are they still doing that next door?
Yeah. Why don't they just get it delivered? I arranged it to be delivered to my mother-in-law because it's like, well, this is fucking numb. We're sitting in and watching her walk to the fucking newsagent.
aren't they getting challenged in the newsagents even?
I don't know. I don't know if the newsagent's going to challenge them. Other people are challenging them, yeah, for sure. But these old people, they don't care no more. Like my auntie's in her 80s. She's not staying in.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's got like a chronic lung disorder. She's not staying in.
So she's very vulnerable then.
Yeah, and we're saying to her, you can't go out. She's like, oh, they're not telling me not to go out. It's like, well, what do you want me to do? I can't fucking lock you up. But yeah, basically, it could be because I've been quite close to that part of my family. I've seen them, like, until I moved away, I saw them like every week for the whole of my life.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, it could be I've seen her for the last time, because if she keeps going out, if she gets it, I mean, that's it, isn't it? They just turn up in the ambulance, you say goodbye, and then hopefully they come back.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like I had something pretty, there's some pretty, even it's early days in this situation, but I've seen some pretty grim things at the hospital when you think about, like, you think behind what is going on. It's like I was doing minors the other day, and a woman brings in her, you know, old father, like, and who's like very frail, and essentially needs to be admitted because his social care isn't up for looking after him anymore at the moment. So he needs like a frailty bed. Well, those frailty beds don't exist, like, as in they're not there. And so what ends up happening is he ends up staying in the hospital at a place where, with a collection of, like, obviously COVID-19 positive patients. And if he gets this virus, like, he could really get that could be terminal for him very easily. And he's, you know, and yet, so being in the hospital is likely to kill him. And it's like, and you could say that, well, hospital acquired pneumonia and stuff like that, that's all very common conditions, but it's just like, it just rams it home. It's just like, you don't, like, I was saying to the daughter, you know, it's just like, oh, you don't want your old relatives here. Like,
I don't want to pry or anything, but there was no way they could look after him at home.
Well, in this person's case, he had vascular dementia, so he's not able to make a decision. Like, and she's telling me they can't. So,
well, they can't then.
Yeah, you know, like, and so his advocate, his listed next of kin, says they can't, and he just like, and it was just grim, because so when we took it, so when he was all right, so we need to, you know, put him in the bit of the hospital where he'll get seen, and it's like, you can't go any further. Like, is in, like, there's no visitors. There's like, there's the line on the floor. Literally, it's a bit of tape. It's like, you can't go over it. You know, you need to say goodbye here. And it's just like, and yeah, I'm hoping that he avoids getting contracted it and makes a recovery and goes back home again. You know, hopefully. But the other side, the more cynical side of me is just like, well, he's not going to, is he? Like, this is a dangerous place for those at risk, those who are vulnerable. You know, like, I mean, I don't feel like personal risk, of course, because I'm not in those categories. But it's when, it, you know, and it just, and as I say, it was just sad. It was just like the medical management plan for COVID-19. It, like, there's like a whole block has been listed as a place that you, okay, we won't escalate. The decision's going to be made whether you're going to be whether we would escalate on you or not. And if you're not for escalation, then this entire block of the hospital is given over to treat, like, well, it's like treat for you to be in. You know, it's just right. Like, ugh.
But you're not treating those people directly, the COVID-19 people directly anyway, because if they've got it, they're not coming to you. They have to get bypassed around you, don't they, Amy?
Well, how do you know they have it?
Well, I don't know. Do they not testing them anymore?
Well, we wouldn't know. All we ever have is query. Like, so we don't know that someone's positive until, like, the hospital is only testing people once they're going to be admitted.
So if somebody came in, if somebody was coughing and had a fever, you'd bring them into A&E. You wouldn't just bypass A&E completely.
No.
Wow.
No, I mean, but what would you do with it? Where would you put
them? Well, that's where they'd be going to the XL, I guess, wouldn't it? In the future.
I don't know. Mate, I don't know, it's interesting seeing the pictures come out of the XL Centre and like what's being put into it. But I don't. What is that going to be like? Who's going to work there? What is it going to be? I mean, I just can't.
It could be
big. Yeah, it's like on an industrial scale, isn't it? Yeah. So, but are they going to have 4,000 ventilators in there? I doubt it. You know, like, are they going to have the staff, even if they had the equipment, would they have the staff to run 4,000 ventilators at like an adequate safety patient to staff ratio?
I saw the New York, what do they call him in New York? Governor? Is it governor, the guy in charge of the state?
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
It, so he was telling people that they may have to use hand ventilators.
Hand ventilators?
The ones that you have to pump.
Oh, right. Oh, okay.
So
who does that?
Well, somebody's got to stand there 24 hours a day fucking pumping this hand ventilator.
Well, yeah, but who does that?
I don't know. What, for like 2 weeks at a time?
Yeah. But, I mean, that's ultimately it. If you go on, if you're lucky enough to get on a ventilator, then you'll be on, the chances are you'll be on it for 2 weeks. It's not like, oh, it's a day job and you like recover. And then there's complications of getting somebody off a ventilator. It's not easy. You know, it's like it's a staggered release in the sense you might need a tracheostomy put in to get off this ventilator. You know, you basically just don't want to be unlucky enough to have this virus take you down, you know, or come to the hospital for really anything. Like, it's...
Well, the hospital's effectively closed now for everything.
Well,
effectively.
The thing is, last shift I worked, I had a 25-year-old come in and tell me that he had a tickly cough for 2 years.
2 years?
2 years.
Has he got asthma or something? 2 fucking years?
Yeah, 2 years. A tickly cough, tickly throat.
Well, so and, he's patient one, is he?
So literally, I said to him, I said to him, do you want to be in a hospital that's in lockdown with a pandemic, an infectious pandemic, for this? Like, do you actually want to be here for this? Like, and he's like, and I was like trying to like say to him, like, 1 + 1 = and he's
you're
like,
basically saying, I want to get back to making models and painting them. Or getting paid at work, can you please go home, Mr. Patient?
No, because obviously I can't send him home. But I was just literally, do you actually want to be here for this reason? Like, is it important enough to you? Like, considering the context of what's going on around you. And he was like, oh no, I don't. So I better go. And I was like, yeah, that's your decision. But yeah,
Oh,
and also we've had a few people coming in demanding to be tested, and we're just not. Obviously, like, if they're well enough to come in demanding it, obviously they don't need to. They should be self-isolating. And I've even had to tell that to members of staff. Like, that was the real like shocker. Was I had a senior nurse, like more senior than me, come in, and she disregarded one. She like one on the phone, like told her to stay home and self isolate. And it's like, oh, but she decided to come to A&E, and she didn't get any further than the triage because I told her to go home and self isolate. And I was just like, but
what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, but it was really strange because obviously I was like, hang on. Yeah, I went and spoke, like, our lead consultant, you know, like, was on. And he was like, you know, took her details down, basically. It was just like, you know, that wasn't a smart career move. You know, like, and it was just like, well, like, should I go out there and tell her to go away? I mean, she, like, in the chain of command, she's like, she outranks me. You know, like, as in, should I, you know, and it's like, yeah, go and tell her to go away and, like, and continue to self-isolate. Like, if you should be doing that until you're poorly enough that you need an ambulance to bring you here. Like,
yeah. You know, that's the rules, yeah. That's the rules.
Well, basically, yeah. It's just like, if you walk in, then you're, like, almost every situation, if you walk in, you're too well to, like, you walk in, because you've got breathing problems, you're too well for it. You know, like, as in, you've walked in, you've got here yourself.
So somebody I heard was describing how to tell if you had shortness of breath. And I thought it was an interesting thing, because what is shortness of breath? It's quite a vague symptom. So they said, if you can count to 10, relatively slowly, like 1, 2, 3, and you can get to 10 without breathing in or out again, then you're fine.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that, then, and you haven't had a prior condition that meant you could never fucking do that, then there may be something going on with shortness of breath. But obviously, you can be having like a panic attack or whatever.
Asthma is a perfect thing for that. So asthma is dangerous right now. Like, you, if you have asthma, like, that is not a good condition to have and be and have COVID-19. But you know, exasperation of asthma is very common, like in asthma sufferers. Because they get anxiety, like, it tends to go hand in hand with anxiety, and they get themselves worked up. They take a puff, they can't control it. They get themselves worked up. Oh, it's not working. I'm getting worse. And then, so a lot of that management is self-discipline. It's like, control it. Like, stop panicking. Like, could relax. Like, you know, there are various techniques and stuff that people use, like almost like meditation techniques. Themselves down, but it is like literally like that is in terms of like, and because right now, if you were an asthma sufferer, like you had asthma and you had an inhaler, the last place you wanted to be is a hospital. Like right now, it's like, you really don't want this because you might catch this thing and be fine. You probably would. I would catch this thing and be fine. You like, no. Like, you know, I, and that's the thing. And that's the sad thing is because you can have, like, you might not even have symptoms. The person talking to you, the clinician, might be positive. Like, yeah, it might well be. Like, we tend to be a healthy bunch of people. But so, and you start thinking like that, it's like, well, I'm triaging you. I might be positive. I might be the one giving it to you.
Yeah.
Like, I could easily be. Like, you know, I don't feel I'm well at all because this virus isn't affected. Like, my immune system's dealing with it. But...
So have you been enjoying your exercise in the zombie apocalypse?
It's so weird. It's so
It's like being in The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And if you don't come across a herd of zombies, there's fucking nobody.
No. It's like, makes you wonder where, I mean, everybody is in their houses, but it just shows, like, it's just like you're the only person in the world, isn't it?
Especially, like, if you go to somewhere built up.
Yeah.
it's fucking hell, it's nuts.
It's not. I don't want to do 3 months of this, basically. Like, this is like, I don't want to do 3 months of where of. I mean, I've structured my shifts a bit where, so I'll, because normally I would like try to, like, oh, if I work more here, it opens up some gap of time to then go do something or whatever. Like, I've gap of time off. Well, I don't want that. Actually, I want to now work a day, have a day off, then work a day, have a day off, work a day, and endlessly repeat until lockdown's removed, because. It's like, you know, I'm one of the lucky ones. I've got somewhere to go. Like, I've got something to go do. And when I'm doing that thing, it's social. Like, it, you know, because it involves people. I'm not built to be trapped in for 3 months. That's not me.
The only thing that I'm freaking out about outside is like joggers. Fucking joggers are a menace.
No, there's loads of them now.
Menace, because they never fucking give way because they're jogging. So maintaining a 2 meter distance to a jogger is fucking impossible.
True. But I think that you getting infected by someone as they run past you is probably unlikely, isn't it?
They say that it's caused by like heavy breathing and spit and shit. Well, yeah. If you look at a jogger who's like going for it, they're breathing as heavy as you like. I just find joggers like they're just nuts in general. They're kind of nutty people generally, because there is no fun in jogging. I've never discovered it. Cycling, yeah, I can see cycling. That's jogging's fucking nuts.
I agree with you. Like I did a half marathon once and I did not enjoy it. Like I didn't enjoy the build up training to it. I didn't enjoy doing the thing. Yes, there's the endorphins released by exercise afterwards. But there's also like there's a lot like jogging can give you a lot of other problems, can't it? Like it's not good for your joints. Like, you know, it can take away as well. But some people have just go nuts for it.
You know, nuts? Like, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's not, they don't, there tends to be like two types of people. Joggers who are like unfit and get injured and stop. And then you got the fuckers that are like non-stop. They're like fucking marathon man. Like Forrest Gump running around all over the world non-stop.
I suppose. I mean, swimming's generally, I think, for an exercise that doesn't damage you, like shouldn't damage you at all, swimming is the one.
Yeah, but I love swimming.
Can't do that nowadays, can you? Everything like that shut.
No swimming. I did get, how many, we got 130 bags of demons packed, me and the little one this week. He does an hour a day of packing with me.
So would you send them off?
No.
Like, yeah.
Not yet, because I've not finished. But also,
But say you have everything cast up. Are you going to do a trip to the? Well, I suppose you would. Would you go to the mailbox?
I don't know. That it's ethically quite difficult. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. Hopefully, it doesn't go on too long. Is the issue? If it starts going on like a tremendous amount of time, then I'm going to have to, aren't I? Realistically.
Yeah.
I guess if we're talking about 18 months, that can't happen.
No, like, I mean, things were saying in the news reports were saying it was 3 months, like June.
The post office is open. You can go to the post office and post stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess, but it's taken a remarkably long amount of time to pack these little fucking demons. I think it takes two of us an hour to pack 50 bags.
Right. Okay.
Little buggers. But hopefully these will be all packed soon and we can move on to doing the chariots and the harpies and stuff. Not harpies, they're demon flyers. But that's good. I mean, if we're in for 3 months and I can't get the Kickstarter finished, even with the kids at home, then there is no hope, is there?
You're never going to get it finished.
I should be able to get it finished. I just need to find time to do the casting in the evenings. But it's getting lighter soon, so that's good, and warmer.
Yeah, we it's true British form. We had the daylight saving hours come on today, and then it snowed. Yeah, like I had to sleep down.
This is the start of British summertime with a bit of snow. That's what you want.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you want. Have you managed to play any games of anything?
So this is actually getting onto the topic of our podcast, like gaming. Yeah, like I've updated like Total War. Like, so it's like, okay, so looks like online computer gaming is what is going to happen in the future. Yeah. But it's just like that compared to face-to-face gaming, it's just so stale, isn't it? Once I'd got it updated, I had a game of Total War 2, Warhammer Total War with Phil Yules. And it was fun. Like, I had him on Skype as well, and we were like playing thing and chatting away. But it's, you know, the whole, the, as a form of like gaming in general, it's like, you know, the thing about gaming club, for example, is the social interaction, isn't it? It's like the, what do they call it? The social commitment or something. So you like you're there like playing this game and interacting with someone face to face. It's a good thing to go do. Which computer games just, that's how they could never like do that. Like you could, you could have a headset on and in the corner of a screen you might have like yourself, like, and it's like in this podcast, for example, it's not as good as a face-to-face conversation, because that's what people like need, like I think. As in, it's like, as, well, that's what I would rather. So yeah, I'll probably do some online gaming, but it leaves me a bit cold, to be honest, like with the whole afterwards. It's like I don't feel like I've got anything to show for it at all, etc. It's like, well, you know, I played this game, it was enjoyable, yeah, but it also, it's instantly forgotten once it's done.
I've managed to do some painting, which is nice, I guess. Feels weird painting, but it fills a time, scratches an itch, kind of.
Totally. I've based up all the Middle Earth stuff that I have. So everything's assembled and based, and like, so yeah, like when we get back to normal, I've got loads of games of it I want to play, because I've got can use that theme. It's very easy to collect Middle Earth, but yeah, I'm guessing at best none of us are playing a face-to-face game for like 3 months.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Also, I did something you'll quite laugh. I did think a friend called a virtual pub. So it was basically it was done through WhatsApp, and it was just chatting with friends, but you all had to be drinking.
Right.
So yeah.
And what did you listen to?
Listen to?
Just chatting.
We're just chatting. We were just conversation, but it was like while having a beer together. It was it's okay, but it's not as it's not the real thing. It's like eating corn instead of meat.
Right.
It looks like meat, but it's not as nice as meat, is it?
It's also a bit.
I guess basically, I'm
saying a bit laggy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if there's five of you talking, it's just you can never hear anything, I guess.
Yeah, you do have to let conversations play out a bit. You're right. And I guess like bottom line is that I'm a social creature, and that's what is these stay at home activities, they lack to me. It's like they don't have that social connection.
It's weird. I mean we should still do the podcast, but it really has nothing to do with wargaming at the moment, because there isn't any wargaming happening.
Well, no, exactly. I mean, but that's like through no fault of our, not our fault of our own. Like, that is a situation. I mean, I still say, like, it's nice to record something and put it out there. Like, people know that we're still alive. As a subject, it's like, we could do some army reviews, of course, and things like that, but we can't. We can't put any theories into like test or talk about a game that we've played. I mean, there's a computer program called Universal Battle, which
really
is literally a 2D simulator. Like, you know, like Fumble is for Blood Bowl. It's Universal Battle is, here's your, you can upload images of thing of your models or whatever, like, and then, but you have to police the rules yourself in terms of a sense, because you can give like the table will give you measurements like A to B. So it's like people say it's like it is like playing a war game, like because but it's also it's just not going to engage me as much as a thing. I mean, it'd be an interesting place to test out theories of like formations and stuff. Like, okay, so
what's it called?
Universal Battle.
Battle.
Yeah, Universal Battle.
I'm going to look it up, see what, because I've seen some other ones, but they look pretty shit, if I'm being honest.
This is a no-thrills, like, free program that's like that is like looks down on the table like a 2D thing.
There's some of the year asking the first one it over. That's from fucking 2011. War Master Jet. Oh my god, it's not exactly active, is it?
No.
Right, so I'll look at a screenshot. I can't even see if. Oh geez. Okay. So how do you put your stuff in? There must be something more up to date than this. This looks like fucking 10 years old stuff.
But it's free, Barry.
Well, yeah. There's a. All right, okay. Well, if this is all there is, what's Tabletop Simulator? This is a modern one. Can you play? Tabletop Simulator. Let me have a look at that one while we're online.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to play a game.
What those kind of programs could do is they could allow you to how would you set up your army or how would you set up that brigade and where would you put it, how would you put it in support another brigade, that kind of thing. Yeah, so you could theory hammer out quite a bit of stuff there, like given a level playing field and like, okay, so no outside factors. Like, how would I set up my Tomb King army for a no scenario game where I don't have any limitations in my deployment zone, for example.
Right.
So you could do things like that, but it's gonna, you know, and then you could go through the steps of playing a game, but all of the rules, like you have to put in yourself, like the game, you know, if you tell the game, okay, I need to roll 5d6 dice. What are the results? The game will tell you it. Like, you roll those dice and this is what you got. But you'll have to, like, then, you know, do everything else for you. Like, it's like it hasn't got any, you know, it hasn't got the game's, like, coding in there. It's what you, the player, put into it.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely have to try and find something, because that would be interesting. I would definitely play if we could find a way to play.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think Ollie was saying he plays Star Wars Legions on something like this, but maybe I'll put a poke him. It can't be this because this looks ancient.
Yeah, there is the second one, Universal 1 and 2.
Battle 2?
Yeah.
Nah, I can't find any shit. Right, so Tabletop Simulator. I'll have a look at that. Basically, what I will do is I'll have half an hour now, having a prod around and see what I can come up with.
Yeah.
So what's your plan for this week, fella? My plan is staying indoors, going shopping twice. That's it. I went to the hospital last week for a blood test. That was fucking nuts. Nuts, sir.
What? As in because it was empty and...
The hospital was like a ghost town, apart from the staff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the staff don't really give no shits about no 2 meter social distancing from each other, because they're there all day, every day. So
yeah,
but exactly. They were giving patients quite a wide berth, to be fair.
Yeah,
and they had four hematologists of them, because that's normally how busy the blood test bank is. So there's four hematologists, and there was one person with a mask doing the bloods. And I was the only person in the waiting room. And normally there's like a cube of fucking 100.
Yeah. So you were seen quite quickly then?
You'd have thought so, wouldn't you? Not really.
No.
they kind of, because they wanted to, I don't know why, but they were just kind of waiting to build up a reasonable number. So they waited till there were three in the waiting room before calling people in. I don't know why.
Down to... I think it's down to perhaps down to the PPE. So like I've seen that Public Health England has put out something saying, what situations do you need to wear what's called an FFP3, which is a mask with a respirator? And I was like, looked at these list of situations, and I was like, well, none of them you're really ever going to do rarely in an emergency department. So. And it was on Facebook, somebody showed this thing in a group. And I was like, am I reading this right? Is this showing that you just don't need to wear these things in an emergency department? It's like, sounds it, yeah. And then the cynical part of me is like, is that because we don't have enough of them? That like,
I'm sure it is.
that this guideline's out saying, oh no, you don't need to wear that level of protection unless you're doing these things. And it's like, is
they
that
wearing basically the level of protection that they say not to bother wearing because it doesn't do anything?
Yeah.
So I should be the one wearing the mask to not infect them, not them wearing a mask to stop me infecting them, because they ain't going to do that.
Yeah, the surgical masks don't really do anything, sadly.
Weird. Mm-hmm. Weird. So, so I'm going to have a bit of an explore, see if we can find some way of playing a 10mm game online somehow.
Yeah, cool.
And if we can't, then we'll have to do something else. And then we'll try and record once a week for about half an hour.
Exactly. Like this thing, little and often. I mean, like, I check, my diary is available, free.
Is it really? No tournament this weekend?
No, sadly not. I'm going to try to do shifts where I do a day and day off and then a day on shift. I'll try to do that where possible, because it just breaks up the Groundhog Day-ness of all this. That, I think that's the thing that's getting to me a bit. It's just like, every day is the same.
Every day is the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every day is the same.
It's honestly, Barry, this whole thing is, it reminds me so much of doing an operational tour. Really, it does. Because it's just the monotony of it, you know?
Right. I think I asked my kids one day this week what day it was, because I really had no idea what day it was. Yeah, it could have been tomorrow. A fucking Monday.
Sunday.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Oh, like Universal Battle 2, right.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, there we go. You've right. Universal Battle 2. This looks slightly more up to date. Oh, yeah. I'll have a look at that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, well, it's Sunday the 29th, one week into lockdown in the 2 days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was an episode of War Master Podcast with nothing to do with War Master as usual there.
Well, I say apology. I mean, I say like apologies, regular listeners. But yo, what can we do really about it? Really, like if we can still do some army reviews, couldn't we? But we just can't. There's nothing stopping us doing that, Barry.
Well, next week we'll do if we're not doing another one of these unless things get out of hand. So we'll be doing an army review, or we'll be doing a game or something. Yeah. We'll try and do something.
Try and do something.
And so that was Warmest 138. Was it 138? 138 with Paul and Barry. Stay safe. See you soon.
Bye.
Good night.
Would you like to know more?